Therefore, you're in store for another blessing today as we study the Word of God. Brother Farrell breaks the bread of life for us. Brother Farrell.
Thank you. Going to the 13th chapter of Matthew, back to the verses that I used yesterday morning to introduce this subject, beginning with verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto us in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mystery, literally the secret of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even what he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is become gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Yesterday, I attempted to lay the foundation for the giving of parables, or the reason that Jesus began to speak in parables. Briefly, Jesus had come to his own nation. His own nation received him not. Even the leaders of that time, Sadducees and Pharisees particularly, scribes, they would not receive the word, and finally the people themselves came to the point that they wouldn't receive the word. Jesus broke the racial relationship with the nation of Israel. Then he began to call upon whosoever would, and whosoever would do his will, those were the ones that were his mother, his brother, his sisters. In other words, the relationship with the nation of Israel had been broken because the religious leaders had attributed the fact that he was showing them that the kingdom of God was near at hand because he was, by the power of God, casting out demons. And they said, you're doing it by the chief of them. Now, that nation sinned the unpardonable sin. Now then, Jesus begins to speak in parables. And in chapter 13, verse 1, we read, The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, The whole of sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some of the seed fell by the wayside, and fowls came and devoured it. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of soil. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But other seeds fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, the one who has spiritual comprehension, you get the meaning of this parable. All right, now, we note in verse 18 now, he gives us the definition, the meaning of this. Hear therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, now get this, the word of the kingdom. What is he talking about here? The nation of Israel were looking for the kingdom as we know it, the millennial kingdom. They were looking for a great king to come from heaven to release them from the Roman bondage and to make them who were under submission and had been under submission. This was the fourth world empire that they had been under submission to. And they were wanting to be delivered from that. And the prophecy did say something about their being delivered from it. But they had failed to note in those prophecies likewise that there was to come the lowly one. For instance, as Isaiah 53 presented him, a savior they needed before this other aspect of the kingdom, the millennial aspect, could be granted to them. Now then, Jesus has come, and he says, now when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he that received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed in stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and immediately with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not looked in himself, but endured for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he is offended. Or let us pray. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the care of this age and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed in the good ground is he that hears the word and understandeth it, who also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, fold, some 60, some 30. Now then, Jesus is enlightening them as to what is going to happen between his rejection by the nation of Israel and his return the second time. The kingdom of heaven as involved here involves the conflict that shall arise at the proclamation of God's sovereign rights to rule his creation, together with the events caused by the opposer or Satan of the right to do that. In other words, we're getting prophetically here in these seven secret parables what is going to occur between the first coming and the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, this son, this sword here, is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And when he came giving this word, there were those who heard it. They were like the hearers that received seed by the wayside. The wayside, to those of you who have the glorious of experience of knowing something about the agricultural era in which some of us lived, that wayside was the old turn road that we had in the field. The old turn road was that part of the field in which the farmer went backwards and forth from the fields to the house or to the barn. Hey, my day, it was the horse and the plow that my dad dragged along the old turn road till he got out to the particular field that he wanted to plow. It was hard, it was packed, and the center part of that thing was so packed that you never did have to go there and pull the grass out of it, because the grass wouldn't grow. It was packed so hard. So this he likens to those people who hear the word, but the devil comes and snatches it away before it has any chance Well, it just wouldn't grow there because the ground has not been broken up. Now, this kind of situation is going to exist throughout this age to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are going to be those, when you speak this word, they will not believe it. They will not accept it. They laugh at it, they scoff at it, and so on. Now, but he that received the seed in stony places, the same is he that hears the word and immediately with joy receives it back. He doesn't have any root in himself. Now, the picture is this. Remember that Palestine was a rock land. There were rocks. There were little mountains, this, that, and the other. And this picture's the old shelf rock there by the field. And that over a period of time had collected some dirt. Maybe it was a half inch thick, maybe it was an inch thick. And as the soil would sow the seed, some fell on these stony places. All right. It sprang up immediately. There was so little soil on the shelf rock that the dew of the night was pretty well saturated that it would furnish immediate moisture that the seed would just germinate and come forth. But when it came forth, it didn't have any root, it couldn't go down, didn't have enough depth of soil for it to go down to get moisture. In fact, the best of the rock that it was. So, son fell there, and he says, these are they that when they hear the word, they just immediately receive it. But when the way gets a little higher, when persecution arises, because of the word, when tribulation comes, when you have to suffer for the cause, you don't find it anymore. Now, I saw this many a time in my childhood days, and in school too today. You'll find some people, and especially did we find them, you would preach the gospel to them, and they'd be saved, or at least they'd make profession of faith. And I've seen so many people make professions of faith that I think, my, our community will never be the same anymore. Well, those days we had quarter time preaching, that meant preaching one Sunday a month. And, well, you never saw them anymore. They were long gone. Long gone. And what? Well, one reason, it caused them to have to work a little extra or something else, or somebody might make a little fun of it because you embrace Christianity, so on, and because of that point, they just fall away. They didn't have any depth at all. So, that kind of era will exist throughout the age beginning from that time until the Lord comes. Now, there were those who received the seed in thorny places. The part of the country that I came from had a certain kind of a thorn tree that, well, when you found one, you better go cut it down as a bush, because if you didn't, they would just take up all the, what we call the swamp or the open area around the old farm. Right. And, if those things were allowed to grow, a thorn tree will so sap the ground that grass won't even grow underneath it. And they're obnoxious. Now, some fell among the thorns. And what happened there? Well, he says, these are the ones, hear the word, and the care of this age, and the deceitfulness of riches. So many people say, well, I just don't have time to give my time to the things of the Lord. I've got to make a living. I've got to lay me up some money for my old age. I've got to do this, that, and the other. And the deceitfulness of these things choke the word, and he becomes from it unfruitful. How many have fallen by the wayside because they've gone out the Lord, going out to make money. Now, that kind of condition existed in the day when Jesus came preaching the word. It's going to continue until the end of this age, when he comes again. But the wonderful thing is that some seed fell upon good ground, ground that had been broken up, where a seedbed had been made. Maybe it was by God's providence. Somehow, the ground was broken up. And he hears the word and understands it. In other words, man does not have the solution to the problems of this world or of this civilization. I heard Charles Colson the other night state, we need to look to Washington and the new administration for the solution of any of our problems. The solution doesn't come from man. God may bless consecrated God-fearing men and bless some of the efforts to make life a little better for some people. But instead of solving the world's problems, their solution will only compound the world's problems. And he brought it. Only God has the answer to civilization's problems.
Amen.
And that's right. And so we look for the coming of Jesus Christ. We understand the Word, because he is the living Word that is witnessed to by the written Word, which was in the beginning with God. Now, he understandeth and he bears fruit, and bringeth forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now, just get this. Every saved person seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness will not bring forth fruit equal with maybe another. Some bring forth 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now, that fella that brings forth 30-fold, don't let the fella that has such blessings of God that he can bring forth 100-fold. Don't let him make fun of that little 30-fold or that little 60-fold. That's the way it's going to be until Jesus comes again. You shall know the secrets of the kingdom. Now, that tells me and you that we are to take Christ to the world. That we're not going to take the world for Christ. And knowing that, the thing to do is let us be faithful. Now, I understand that one of our own brethren back in one of the state associations meeting sometime back in Arkansas got up and made the statement that if we don't quit preaching doctrine, we may as well forget about building any big churches. God didn't send us out to build big churches.
Amen.
He sent us out to take Christ to the Word. And mind you, it's going to be successful, as Christ tells us, but as man looks upon it, he may not be successful.
Amen.
But the Lord is going to be successful and do what he says. Now, that's the first parable. That's one truth now that he's presented to us. The way people receive the word of the kingdom. All right. Now, another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, there appeared the tares also. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From where then hath it failed? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Now here is another aspect of the kingdom of heaven, or the way it will be between the two comings of Jesus Christ. Going over to, and he said, let both go together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather together first the tares, and bind them in bottles to burn them, but gather the wheat into the barn. Now, what was this meaning of this parable? Well, simply this, that Jesus now shows the children of God as the seed in the world. He said, if you pray for Israel, pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the world. And so the New Testament church, children of God, was sown in the Word. And Jesus promised that he would be with them every day in every situation until the end of this age.
Amen.
And so it's going to be, it has been, and so it will be. But we know that when Jesus put forth his children, the wheat in the world, New Testament churches, the devil comes along and sows some imitation religious movements into the world. Tares look just like wheat until the harvest time. And at the harvest time, you see the heads of wheat bent over. But the heads of the old tares will just stick right straight up. They don't have any substance in them. And so that's the way it is about the devil's churches. The devil got churches, yes, sir.
Amen.
He's got tares in the world. And people, unless you're pretty well skilled, you cannot tell the difference between wheat and tares. Now, I had the privilege when I was in Western Oklahoma, where they grew wheat, I had one of our members go out in his wheat field, and he was able to tell the tares from the wheat. And he brought me a young wheat plant and a young plant of tares. And I had them in the pulpit with me as I preached one night on this sermon. And to the congregation out here, they couldn't tell the difference. And so that's the way it is. We're getting a picture now of what we call Christendom.
Amen.
Christendom. Christendom. And so we're beginning to see now what happens as God's sovereign rights to rule his creation are proclaimed, yes, by the New Testament church, to be sure, but we see also the opposition, events that the opposer raises up to fight against it. And so, that's been the record of history. The opposition, Satan's churches in the world. All right, now, he gives us a little preview of the end right here. We'll get this picture again under the last parable, and that's the parable of the net that's thrown into the sea. But we get enough right here. He said, let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, he will say to the reaper, gather together first the tares. Go and get the tares. They'll be easily to be seen and understood because they're going to be proud. The fleshly religion and so on. This organized religion, your liberals, your ecumenical movement, and all of that. Personally, I think the ecumenical movement is the binding of the tares. They are to be bound first. Now listen, you bind the tares into bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. When I was in Western Oklahoma, I went to a field one day and where he had burned off the old wheat stubble. Because you know he didn't set fire to that until he had gathered the wheat, the heads, grain into the barn. You don't burn the wheat with the tares. You don't burn the wheat with the tares. You take the wheat out of the field, and Christ says the field is the world. And after they're taken out, these tares that have been bound are going to be set on fire in the tribulation to bring. Ye shall know the secrets of the kingdom. And so, I have a first cousin who just a little older than I am, and she's a retired school teacher. And one time a situation arose, and we got to have prayer. Well, a Catholic priest was coming down the hallway, and he said, I'm a Catholic, and you all are Catholic. Oh, it doesn't make any difference, just anybody. Just come and pray. Well, now, wait a minute. That's the way the world looks at it. Mm-hmm. And she thinks I'm a tarnated fool. And I couldn't get across her, because her idea of Christianity is Christendom. Mm-hmm. Her idea of Christianity is universalism, with all the various denominations just branches of the church. All right. I think I'll have time to give you one more here. I'm going to have to try to break these into, deal with them. I'd like to deal with three of them today. Now listen, I go to the next one, verse 31. Another parable put he forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among earth, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches of it. All right. Now he's progressing along. He's telling his disciples another facet, another thing concerning the happenings between his first coming and his second coming. And actually what he's doing here, he's amplifying somewhat on the tale. He likens it to a small grain sown in the ground. But when it grows up, he says it's the greatest among herbs, but it becometh a tree. Now, I like to eat mustard greens. Sure do. And it's an herb. And I noticed the other night they were making advertising about certain bread that's on the market today that they're putting wood in. Now, wood is different from an herb. Different fiber altogether. Back from where I come from, they have to cook wood in digesters with what they call black liquor, a chemical that affiliate eats your flesh away if you fall into it, under great pressure, steam pressure. My brother does that at the Cross Paper Mill in Cross. Okay, now that's the difference in wood fiber and herb fiber. Now, for an herb to turn into a tree is abnormal.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes a monstrosity. Now that's exactly what happens in Christendom.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes a monstrosity. And he's showing them what appeals to the eyes of people. Oh, they look out and church, what is it? And the most of the times they'll think of some great big cathedral or something like that. It's become a monstrosity. You see? The point is that New Testament Christianity, because the devil show imitation in it, it grows to a great thing in the world, and that's what people of the world are looking at today.
Mm-hmm.
They see Christendom, but they don't like the little old New Testament churches. And so we notice here, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches. Now then, going back to this first parable, he said the birds that came and ate up the seed on the wayside, that's the devil.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot easier today to be a New Testament Christian. Well, you ask the few that's in China if you have the chance. Or you ask the ones who are trying to stay close to the New Testament church in Russia what it's costing them. And let me tell you, the civil government in the United States today favors Christendom, but they'll do everything in the world they can to make it hard on little New Testament churches.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that condition is going to last until the end of the age. Now, he's showing them in the parable of the mustard tree the great outward growth of Christendom. But the devils are in that. The devils are in that. That'll be as far as I can tell you this morning. Now, Tuesday and Wednesday next week, Lord willing, I'll try to go further. I'll try to finish these up, and then I want to get to the last one next Wednesday, Lord willing. Have you understood all these things Jesus said to his disciples taken together? Did you get a composite picture of this age from these parables that I have given you? In other words, he applies the seventh law of teaching. He tests
them. Mm-hmm.
He tests them. And then he says that the one that understands these things is like a household. Well, that's real close to that today.
Thank you.